I'm going to share a few things that were on my mind, in my heart, as I was reading this week. And it ties back a little bit to Ephesians, if we go back there, and it's just going to actually look at one phrase there and then look at some scriptures that I think shed light on what that phrase means and how it can be practically applied in our lives. And I was reading last week or 2 weeks ago and sort of the first three verses, and in Ephesians 1 verse 3 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And what I was looking at is that, what does this mean that we're blessed in the heavenly places? Does this mean that we get to enjoy this blessing that we've been blessed with when we get to heaven, when Christ returns or when we die? And that's when this blessing in the heavenly places becomes ours? I think many may already know this, but I'm going to say the answer to that is no. The answer to that is no. Very clearly, being blessed in the heavenly places is about a current reality for those who are in Christ. We are blessed in the heavenly places now. So what does that mean? Is it a practical thing, or is it just some sort of theological conception that we can rejoice in? Well, I would say it's actually a practical thing. And I think it's something in our lives we want to take heed to. We want to say, how can I be abiding? How can this reality that I am in the heavenly places and blessed in the heavenly places, how can that affect my life? How can that build my faith? How can that be something that encourages me and helps me in my walk? And so that's my heart in just looking at some of these scriptures that I'm going to share. So let's start in chapter 2. And I'm going to just start in verse 4. It says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show us the surpassing riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So what we can establish clearly from this passage is that the blessing in the heavenly places is for now. It says in verse 6 that we have been raised up with him and are seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So those of us who can say that because of God's great mercy, we've been raised up together with Christ. If we can say we've been raised up together with Christ, then we have confidence to say, I am seated in the heavenly places. I am there. This is a place where I now abide with my Savior, Jesus Christ. I am abiding in the heavenly places. So then my next question to you is, okay, if we now can see clearly in the scriptures that we have been seated with Christ in the heavenly places, is this, I'm going to go back to this again now, is this a theological thing that we just anchor onto and say, you know what, praise God, I'm in the heavenly places, end of story, all done, I've got whatever blessing I've got or whatever blessing I'm going to get because I know that fact? Is it because we know that fact, is it because we can read it here in Ephesians and we can say I'm in the heavenly places, that now, end of story, that's all that there is to this? And I'm again going to say no. I'm going to say no, because we as believers have a battle. We've been seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is a fact. That is an unalterable fact as we see it here in the scriptures. But the fact, that fact alone does not give us access, does not ensure or assure us as believers, or does not immediately turn us into abiding in this blessing. All these blessings that are there, all the blessings that are there from being seated with Christ in the heavenly places, they are accessed, they are understood, they are enjoyed through choices we make through faith. And I say that with confidence because in some of the verses I'm going to read, it becomes clear that there is a battle. There is a battle for us as believers as to whether we want to be called and dwell in the earthly, if we want our lives to be spent living earthly lives for earthly passions and earthly lusts and earthly desires, or do we want to live a life in the heavenlies? Do we want to live a life where our mind is set on things above, where we are enjoying and participating in all of these blessings and seeing these blessings with every spiritual blessing? It's every spiritual blessing. If we want to see these blessings unfolding before us in our lives, unfolding before us in faith as we're able to access them and see them and experience them, that's where it is very, you're sold completely short. I would say to the point of missing out on it completely if you think this is just a theological position that somehow you're in the heavenly places and that can't be shaken and it is what it is. No, it is access through a life of faith, and it is access through living a life according to the instruction given to us in the scriptures. And this is not works, but rather obedience of faith. And that's where living a life in the heavenly places becomes a reality for us. So first off, I'm going to give us some contrasts, a little bit about the earthly. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, I think it is. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. Paul is warning in the Philippians. He says, Philippians 3:18, for many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul is weeping about this, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. So this has brought Paul to weeping, that there are enemies of the cross of Christ. And I would tell you, these enemies of the cross of Christ are deceivers who claim to have some of Christ, who claim to be participating in the gospel, but are actually enemies of Christ because they live for their appetites. They live for their earthly lusts. They set their mind on earthly things. That is what puts them in the category of being enemies of the cross of Christ. Then Paul contrasts that and says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of his power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. So here we have our first warning to the contrary of living a life in the heavenlies. It says that there are those who have missed it. There are those who have missed partaking of this life in the heavenlies and they rather become enemies of the cross of Christ because they live for their own appetites. They live for their own lusts and they set their mind on earthly things and they have some sort of glory there, which is why I think this is about those who actually want to call themselves Christians and live in this state. That's where they're seeking to find a glory, but it's actually a shame to them because they're completely missing out on what Christ has for them. So this to me is a strong warning to say we do not want to be those living for our earthly appetites. We do not want to be those setting our minds on earthly things. So let's turn to Colossians chapter 3 for a little more hopefully clarity on this matter. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, so here we see it. I see that raised up, talking about being born again, but here let's see this again. If we've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So this ties in. This is talking about being raised up with Christ and living a life in the heavenly places. It says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. So this is a direct contrast to what Paul, or sorry, this is a direct, yeah, this is the command that is contrasting those who are deceivers, those who are enemies of the cross of Christ, because the deceivers who are enemies of the cross of Christ set their mind on earthly things. They set their mind on earthly things rather than heavenly things, okay? And so in thinking about this, what are earthly things? Are earthly things the fact that we need to have a job for those of us who are providing for our families or maybe don't have a family and have time to use? Is that an earthly thing to say, I need to have a job and I need to think about my work? No, that is not the case. Earthly things do not mean that we have to have our mind perpetually, we can't pay attention to matters that are important here, that even are actually commanded in the scriptures, that husbands should take care of their families and provide for their needs. That is not an earthly thing. Is it an earthly thing that we have to pay taxes or do other things like that? No, that is not earthly things. I apologize, I'm going to flip around a little bit here. You don't even have to turn with me, but I'm going to go back to Ephesians really quick at the beginning of chapter 2. It says at the beginning of chapter 2, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world." And I'm going to say this world is similar to earthly. So he's saying that we were dead in our sins and we walked according to our earthly, the pattern of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of our flesh and of the mind. This is where it ties into Colossians. So we're indulging in the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And then it goes on to the passage I just read about being raised up. Well, that's what we were raised up from. We were raised up from being under this dominion of the prince of the power of the air, under the power and sway of the world and its lusts, and being conformed to the lusts of the world, be conformed to the lust of our flesh. That is setting our mind on earthly things. That is setting our mind on earthly things. What I want, what I need, what my flesh desires, what my lusts are, irrespective of what God may say about those lusts, what God's commands may say, I am controlled by my lust. That's our state before we're raised up in Christ. We're controlled by our appetites, our passions, and our lusts. But now that we've been set free from that, we've been raised up, the power of the prince of the power of the air has been dethroned. We've been raised up with Christ. We've been given authority over those lusts by the power of God and by his grace. Now, our calling is not to live according to those lusts anymore, not to live according to those passions, not to live according to that earthly mind that wants to be satisfied here and now with the things that we want, with the lusts that we want, with the images that we want, with the things we want to hear. That's living for the earth. That's when Paul is writing here by the Spirit. That is living for the earthly and temporal, to live for our passions and lusts. And that power is broken in Christ Jesus. That power is, we're set free from that. And that doesn't mean we live sinlessly and are without ever stumbling, but it does mean that it is not, we have a choice. We have a choice, and we need to set our mind on heavenly things. We need to turn our attention to God's desires and living for him rather than living for earthly desires. And then we can begin to partake of all of those rich blessings that are in heaven. We can begin to see them and understand them and enjoy them and have clarity. And some of us may even say, well, I don't know what the heavenly blessings are. I don't understand them. Well, that's part of the walk. Part of the walk is as we have our mindset on heavenly things and choose to deny the lust, deny allowing our mind to get caught up in the earthly passions and desires, we will begin to understand all the richness and fullness and blessing that God has given us. And what are some of the heavenly blessings? There's some simple ones just to give some examples. Right out of the gate, we know our sins are forgiven. We've been given new life. We've been given the opportunity to be free from that which once bound us, that Satan has been dethroned. These are some of just the very beginning, the little first tastes we have. Taste and see that the Lord is good. These are some of the first tastes that we get of the heavenly blessings. But as we walk and as we grow, we see it come fuller and fuller. Even some of these truths become a fuller understanding to us. And more of Christ's character, more of our Heavenly Father's character is revealed to us. And that is where the blessing lies. That's why we have a desire. That's why we need to have a desire to have a heavenly mind and set our mind on things above. So let's turn back to Colossians chapter 3. I say this with a bit of an eye on the clock here. So we've been raised with Christ, and now he says in verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body. So what is he talking about here? He's not talking again about the fact we live in this created world that God has created and we have to function, we have to eat food, we have to have jobs. That's not what he's talking about. Listen to what he says. The members of our earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, idolatry. So this is what the earthly mind is. This is what we need to be turning our mind away from and turning our mind back on to the our Heavenly Father, to have our mind set on heavenly things, have our mind set on things above, have our mind set on an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of Andrew said of other truths of heaven, submission, authority. These are truths of heaven that we can turn our mind to and allow ourselves to be renewed and encouraged by. The fact that he has given us precious promises, as it says in Peter, precious promises that we can live by. This is the heavenly mind. This is turning our mind to heaven. And I can say, practically speaking, how does this done? How does this actually take place in our lives? It takes place through faith. It takes place through believing that in denying the earthly passions, denying the desire to have our mindset on earthly things, controversies, arguments, people who have wronged us, people who have hurt us, and saying, no, rather than that, I'm going to choose my mind to set my mind on heavenly things where my hope is. I'm going to set my mind on my eternal inheritance in Jesus Christ. I'm going to set my mind on the fact that the passing pleasures that I'm denying myself are storing up a greater inheritance for me, are allowing God to change my character and make me into the husband, father, wife, child, whatever it is, make me into the way he wants me to be, to allow the fullness of all that he has for me to be understood and take place in my life. That's what we get through denying the earthly and setting our mind on the heavenly things. I'm going to just quote it, but I think another example is, where do we set up our treasures? Like this, as I read these passages about having a heavenly mind and being seated in heavenly places and knowing that's where my citizenship is, it just brought life to me in the passage about what Jesus said of where are we storing up our treasures? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if we want to have a heavenly mind, then let's be storing up treasures in heaven. As far as what we have at our disposition, our time, our material resources, our money, etc., and how we invest our lives. Are we going to invest our lives in getting ahead here in earth? And I don't deny the fact we need to work and we need to take care of our families. And if God allows us to make more so that we can be a blessing to others and so that we have it, I'm not saying it needs to be, that doesn't make you earthly. But what makes you earthly is, what is our focus? Where is our treasure? What are we storing it up for? Are we storing it up so that we can get something a little better for ourselves here? Because that is where I actually think I'll be happy. We might quote the scriptures and say, you know what? Yeah, heavenly blessings, I get it. But I want this for myself here on earth, and then I will be happy. Well, be on guard, because that is storing up earthly treasures. If our hope is finding our true happiness in getting something, attaining to some level of material accomplishment here on earth, it's be on guard, because you may find you're storing up your treasures here on earth. And it's okay to have goals. It's okay to save up for a vacation and do stuff like that. I'm not trying to put a yoke on people here, but what I am saying is, be on guard. Where are we storing up our treasure? Because if we want to have a heavenly mind, if we want to have our hearts in heaven, Jesus clearly says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So let's be on guard about that. Let's watch out for that, because it's another example of how we can have our minds conform to earth or conform to heaven. So there's more passages I had, but I think for the sake of time, I'm just going to close it up in Ephesians chapter 1 again. because I think some of what I hope to have done today is at least spurred us on to the truth that being seated in the heavenly places is not just a theological idea or a theological foundation that we have in our Christian doctrines. It's rather a reality. We have been seated in the heavenly places, and it's where Christ is calling us to live. He's calling us to live above all the clamor and confusion and chaos that is this world. And as Andrew said, it is chaotic. And I think for most of us, we could say with honest hearts, we have not experienced a time in our lives where earth feels more chaotic than it does right now. But we are not called to live there. We are called to live in the heavenly places. And that is an attitude of the mind. That is where we're setting our mind. That is where we're getting our encouragement from. That is what we're basing our decisions on. That's living in the heavenly places. And it's not theological. It's a reality that Christ is calling us to. And I think all of us can say, whether we understand it a little bit or a little bit more, it's like even those who have understood it greatly, as I read this topic and as I believe these truths, I realize, okay, maybe I've got a cup full. Maybe some of you have a pitcher full. Maybe some of you have just a little sip full of these heavenly truths. But what's there is an ocean for us as believers. There's an ocean for us to undertake and partake of and understand. And it's there for us to abide in, to live in, to make a reality of the heavenly in our lives. That's what God is calling us to. And that's why we need to have our treasure in heaven and set our minds on things above. So even if you're listening to this, say, Joel, I understand hardly any of it. That's okay. Obey the truths of Scripture about where we're going to set our mind. Obey the truths of Scripture about denying our earthly appetites and lusts, and we will begin to understand in greater measure the truth and reality of being seated in the heavenly places with every single blessing available given to us. That's where God wants us to live, in the fullness of every blessing He has for us. But that is found in the heavenly places. So let's close in Ephesians chapter 1. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul is praying for the church in Ephesians, in Ephesus, and he says, he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory in the inheritance in the saints, and that the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to His church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus. He's praying that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what is the hope of the calling, what is the riches of His glory, of His inheritance of the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. And this understanding, this is the heavenly life. Understanding and having a glimpse of that. And I think all of us, if we're honest in our hearts, can say, you know what? I had a little taste of that. I may not fully understand what it's talking about when it says the riches of the glory of an inheritance in saints, of His inheritance in the saints. And I may not have a full comprehension of what is the hope of His calling. And you know what? That's okay. There's a reason that Paul was praying this prayer. Even in the church of Ephesus, he was praying that they would understand it more fully. And all of us can say, you know what? I have a little taste of God's power. I've seen it in my life. I have a testimony that I was once a slave and now I'm free. And if you don't have that testimony, if we don't have the testimony of God's power in our life, then repent and believe on His name, because He wants all of us to know His power. And that first and foremost is the power to break the bonds of sin in our life, to break the chains of sin, to seat us up in the heavenly places. Just as it said, this power is revealed when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the heavenly places. And Paul is praying that the church would understand this. He's praying that the church would grasp this. And it's my prayer for myself, and it's my prayer for each of you, that as we set our mind on things above, as we set our mind on the heavenly things, and as we purpose in our hearts that we want to live a life in the heavenly places, as we want to live a life of heaven now, as a promise given to us as believers, that we can live a heavenly life now, full of every blessing that God has for us, then that will come as we set our mind on things above, and these promises and these truths and these understanding of his surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, we will begin to understand them fuller. Like I said, you may have a little communion cup full right now. You may have a mug full. You may have a pitcher full. But God has an ocean for us to understand of every spiritual blessing that he's given us, and every spiritual blessing to be a reality in our lives. It's not just about, it's a knowledge that is not head knowledge. It's a knowledge that changes our lives, that as we understand it, it allows us to walk in a greater fullness of Christ Jesus, to be conformed to his image through a true knowledge of him. Peter says that in his letters. He talks about a true knowledge of Christ. It talks about a true knowledge bringing grace. That's the knowledge it's talking about here. And that comes through a heavenly mind, and it comes through denying the earthly mind. It comes through denying the desire of this earth to drag us down, to drag us into sin, to drag us into lust, to drag us into bitterness, jealousy, controversy, divisions, bitterness, all these things. This is of the earth. When it talks about the earth and the appetites of earth, that's what it's talking about. And that's what we as believers need to be on guard against. And we need to be seeking to dwell in the heavenlies. We need to be seeking to dwell with a heavenly mind that is renewed and set on Christ. And I can tell you, it comes through faith. If you don't think you're there, if you're struggling to say, I don't know how to walk in this heavenly mind role, I can say, I don't either. But by God's grace, he's revealing it to me. And he disciplines, he weakens us, he brings us low to allow us to get our minds up in the heavenly places, to allow us to come to a place where we have to come to him in faith, and we have to call upon him in weakness, that he can actually lift us up and bring us to that place and break our own strength of our own mind, trying to figure all of this world out and trying to sort it all out in ourselves. So anyways, I hope that some of these things can speak to your hearts, and I hope it's not confusion, but rather an encouragement as to where God wants us to live, what it means that every blessing has been given to us, every spiritual blessing has been given to us in the heavenly places, and how we can begin to walk in that more and more and live lives that are characterized by having a heavenly seat, by being seated in heaven and enjoying those blessings. Amen.